keep thanking him. You 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 keep thanking him. And pretty soon he'll give it to you just to shut you up. Amen. Man, that guy doesn't know when to quit. You better give it what he wants. It's worked for me many times. Many times. Faith. Paul had heard about their faith. Now, if he heard about their faith, then he heard about their belief in the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus Christ died on a cross to save us sinners. That it's His work that makes us righteous, nothing we do, but what He does. But there's another part to that faith. If their faith is talked about all over the world, then there's something else involved in that faith too. There's power involved in it. There's power. Something's happening. Something's going on. Somebody's believing God. Amen? Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. That's what jumped out at me right there. It took all that to get to this. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. See, that was Paul's secret. If you seek to serve God in this thing, your flesh, then you're offering the sacrifice of Cain. But if you serve God in your spirit, you're offering the sacrifice of Abel. Huh? Now, that doesn't mean we don't try to do right by this thing and go around. You know, we try to walk right and do that which is good. Amen. But just like children, I don't care how good a child is, they're going to try to behave. They're still going to mess up. Isn't that right? Except for Steve, he was perfect. His mother told me so. We know better. Of course, I was pretty. That's what my mother said anyway. He's such a pretty boy. Couldn't stand that one, huh, John? Shook him up. Mothers are funny, but we love them. Amen? Amen. But the bottom line is, Paul said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. The important thing I want you to see here is the serving God in the Spirit. Because when you serve God in the Spirit, you have to do it by faith. See, it doesn't take faith to put a collar on, a Roman collar, or a clerical collar, and wear a robe, and walk around to be seen of men. That doesn't take faith. It doesn't take faith to do a religious ritual. It doesn't take faith to do a religious ritual. That's why when Steve was talking to somebody on that radio station the other day, see, I don't miss much. I think sometimes these boys wished I would miss more. But he was talking to that guy, what's his name? Benarvis. Talked about, do you believe in exorcism? And Steve hit it right. We believe in casting out of devils, not exorcism. Because exorcism is a religious ritual. Casting out devils is the power of God. And with a religious ritual, there's always a trade-off. There's always a trade. You just trade one demon for another. But with the power of God, there's freedom. There's freedom. And total deliverance. And it's not a ritual. To serve God in the Spirit takes faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. It's in what Jesus Christ. See, he says, with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. In the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ died for your sins and he will bring you through to where you need to be. He makes up the difference. Not you. He does. He makes you fit. He makes you right. He justifies you. It's not something you do. It's something he does. And with your faith in that, then you can go forward and take God seriously and believe his word. And do the things that he's commanded you to do. You heal the sick, not because of your worthiness, but because of his worthiness. You raise the dead, not because you're good, but because he's good. You cast out devils, not by your power, but by his power in you. It don't matter. If your feet stink and you got false teeth, you can still do it. If you believe God, have faith on him and what he says. Don't worry about what all these religious people out here say. Or, you know, somebody come up to me and said, how many years of college did you have? I've had more people say that to me over the years. They don't want me in college. They throw me out. I ask the wrong questions. Professors don't like to be questioned. They think they know it all. You ask them simple questions. Well, what about over here in Mark 16 where it says these signs shall follow? Well, that's not for today. Where does it say that? You're no longer needed in this classroom. Well, what's the matter? Did I ask you something wrong? Did I ask you something you don't know the answer to? These guys think they know it all, and they want to put their stupidity on others. And the churches are full of them, full of people that have the wisdom of men, but they don't have any of the wisdom of God. This little girl right here, that one right there, the one that's just about ready to jump up and run out of here if I scare her too much. Then know what to do. Give her 30 days. 30 days in the Word of God. She'll have more knowledge than these preachers out here ever thought of having. That's the truth. Steve comes to my ministry, an anarchist, thinking he's the new Savior. He's the new Messiah. Oh, I've been biting my tongue on it all evening. Not only did his mother say it, I think Jean Dixon said it, didn't she? Amongst others, yeah. Steve is going to be the new Messiah. And he was raised that way from a kid to believe that garbage. Ricky Baldwin picked him up at the train station, didn't even get him out of Montpelier, and wanted to kill him. Most arrogant, self-important, know-it-all, insignificant piece of insanity you'd ever want to meet. I don't think I've ever made you read in the meeting before, Steve. This is fun. This is fun. Thank you. I will. If you love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
Steve walks in the house, sits down at a table, starts talking. And you talk about the most arrogant, prejudiced person. Ricky Baldwin, can I kill him? No, Ricky, you can't kill him. Can I just mangle him a little? No. So I prayed, you know, Lord, how do I handle this guy? He says, don't. I will. So that's cool. That's all right. So Steve, going back and look at our radio room, you know, let's figure, you know, he might be interested in that kind of stuff. So I didn't try to tell you anything, did I? Didn't try to tell him anything. Oh, he told me a lot. Sunday came, he came to church for his cultural experience. That's true. See where Steve was coming from. He was so up there that everybody else was so down there that if he went to Peru to see how the natives, that was a cultural experience. If he came to Vermont to see us up there, that was a cultural experience. So we got up there and I preached and something hit him. He told me later, he said he never saw anyone preach as one who had authority. So he said, may I ask you a few questions? And that started a 36-hour-long Bible study. We studied that Bible for 36 hours while everybody went around us, went to bed, did their things, got up. And at one point, it was like they were in slow motion, one of Steve. It was like, I'm in a hurry to go to work. And, well, that was cool. And we went from Genesis to Revelations in chronological order. Is that right? Tell them a little bit about it. Just a little bit. Don't take an hour. Just a minute.
That's tough. No, what happened is, number one, what happened is when Richard started preaching and people started enjoying themselves, I noticed there was something different going on. And afterwards, I started asking Richard some questions, and Richard brought some of the folks in the ministry around, and they were testifying of how the power of God had moved in their lives. And I remember, as I was listening to these stories, I was like, you know, these people are sincere. These people are telling me the truth. But somehow or other, there has to be another explanation, because it sure can't be that Jesus Christ and Him crucified is true. So after that, Richard and I began in a Bible study, and as he said, it lasted about 36 hours. And what happened during that, the only way I can describe it, I mean, you guys, we all have these little rivers around here. You take a stone, you skip the stone across the river, and you watch it go tow, 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 when you get it good. Well, the only way I could describe it to you is like this, is that if I was standing on the coastline over by the Atlantic Ocean, I took a stone and went, tow, and I skipped it across the Atlantic Ocean, and every place that stone hit, the bottom dropped out, and I could see every fish, I could see every mountain, I could see every valley, I could see every single thing in that ocean. And then it went again, and then again, until we had gone from Genesis to Revelation. And I came out the other side, saved, and knowing God's Word.
Amen. And that's the power of God. And Steve thought that everybody got it that way. He thought everybody got it that way. And a couple weeks later, or a couple days later, I don't know what it was, this guy comes down from Morrisville with his wife. He'd been a Christian for, what, 17 years? His wife, 19 or something like that. And he was an elder in the church and big shot, you know, knew it all. And Steve was mind blown because this guy didn't know anything. He didn't hardly know anything. And, you know, I had a guy come to my house, one of our Bible studies from Promise Keepers one time. He came to, now this is what got me, and God bless the Promise Keepers. I don't have a problem, anything against them. I have a few problems, but I don't have anything against them. But this guy came to the house to judge us, to protect his friend who had been in a Bible study with us. And I told him, I said, you came here to judge us. No, no, no. I said, well, that's all right if you did. You know, I don't care. You know, what's it to me if you judge me? So he sat there, and we had this Bible study. And this guy, let me tell you, God is my witness. He did not even know that Jesus Christ raised anyone from the dead. He didn't even know Jesus did anything like that. This guy was a teacher in the Promise Keepers there in Somerville. and he was going to judge me. What a trip. And he thought the most spiritual Bible there was the Living Bible paraphrased. No wonder he didn't know anything. So, Steve comes out the other end of this Bible study knowing the Word of God. Why is that? Because he set his heart to know. He set his heart to know the truth years before he ever arrived at my house. He just rejected the truth because of the people he saw saying they knew the truth. Huh? You know, God says in His Word, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be damned. Do you know there are people in this tent right now that have had people preach to them and rejected what they said, and they were not damned for it? They were not damned for it. You know that the average person out here, quote unquote, preaching the gospel, if you reject what they say, you will not be damned. Do you know why? Because they pervert it. They pervert it. And you can't be rejected by God for rejecting a perverted gospel. And that's why He told me, don't ever pervert my gospel. If you hear the gospel that Jesus Christ has given to me and you reject that, it stinks to be you. You can reject me all you want, but you better not reject the gospel that He's given me. And that gospel is total, complete faith in the work that Jesus Christ did. That Jesus died on the cross for your sins, not Richard Utzler or anybody else. Jesus did it. And it's only through the work that Jesus did that you can be forgiven. And only through the work that Jesus did that you can be raised up. And only through the power of God Almighty through Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit that you can be kept until that day of judgment. And nothing you can do can change that. And it's based upon your faith in what He has done. That's the gospel. Not on your ability, but on His ability. That's the message. That's the message. And they don't have to receive me, and they don't have to accept me, but by God, they better accept that. And there are a lot of people that have rejected Jesus because of the people and the message they brought. And I want you to know, if you're listening by radio, if you're listening by TV or video, or if you're listening by audio cassette, I want you to know that God has not rejected you because you have rejected a false gospel. He will still receive you if you will receive Him. That's as simple as it is. But knowing the truth and rejecting that, that's another ballgame. That's another ballgame. And Steve received the truth because he had set his heart years before to know the truth. And God brought him down a path and showed him how everything else couldn't work. Then brought him face to face with the absolute truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you couldn't hide from that. You couldn't get out of it. And you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God did the rest.
Amen.
He's done the rest. Amen?
Amen.
What time is it? Timing's good. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change my method a little bit. I'm going to change my style. Son, I want you to sing that song for me that we like, Lover of My Soul.
Okay.
There's a lot of songs we like. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to do something I don't do very often. But I'm going to stand up here and sing this song. And Steve's going to stand over here with me. And Scott, you're going to come up here and stand with me. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to get it done, now's as good a time as any to do. Come stand with us if you want to accept Jesus. Now, I'm not going to continue on this. If you want somebody to pray with you, if you want to receive Christ, you do it now, because I'm not going to stand up here forever and harp on this thing. This is something that's between you and God. We're going to sing this one more time. Let me show you how this works. We sing that song about, you've taken me from this miry clay. This body was made from the clay. This is the miry clay. This is the clay that holds you back and keeps you from the joy. But by faith, Jesus Christ takes us from this miry clay and sets us on Himself in the rock. And that's how you serve God, by your Spirit in the gospel. Knowing that it's in Jesus Christ you serve Him. And when you do wrong, and when you mess up, and you will do wrong, and you will mess up, you don't get all down and out. You don't cry and say, oh, I've lost it now. You ask forgiveness, and you rejoice, because now your faith is being tried. And as your faith is tried, it worketh patience. And patience works a work in you where you never falter again. Trust Jesus. I trust Steve. I trust him to mess up any which way he can find a way to do and invent ways I never heard of before. That's how I can put up with him. I'll say, Steve, go do so-and-so, and he'll go do such-and-such. Is that right? You're getting better now, though, than you were.
I hope so.
Amen. That's part of being human. And this is why we're here now to learn. We're here now to learn. So you're going to make mistakes. Love one another. Love one another. When you make a mistake and when you don't make a mistake. I love John. It's hard sometimes, but I love him. If John had the microphone, he'd probably tell you how he loves me, and it's hard for him sometimes to love me, but he does it anyway. Some people think I'm not easy to get along with. But I really am. We'll talk about that another day. Love one another. Rejoice in your Heavenly Father. Amen. Now don't you let these people leave this tent. You Christians have been around a while here. Without telling them you love them. Amen. That's what it's about. Taking God's love. Amen. Loving Him back with it.
Amen.
And then loving each other with the same love. As if Jesus were here Himself doing it. That's what the Church of Philadelphia is all about. It's the one that God's going to keep from the hour of temptation that comes upon the whole world to try. All those other six churches are going to stay through the tribulation. The Church of Philadelphia won't. Those of you that gave your life tonight to the Lord, you're a part of that Church of Philadelphia. Don't forget it. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You're a part of that Church of Philadelphia. Just remember, take God serious. Don't take yourself serious. Believe His Word. And if you do that, you're going to love one another. Amen? Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, praise God. It is wonderful. I mean, it is a wonderful thing to have new brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
I thank God for each and every one of you. And you know what? There are angels in heaven rejoicing tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
There are angels in heaven rejoicing tonight. God is good. He is very good. Rick, you got something you want to call? Lord, and we worship you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You know something that might come of this?
A new church.
A new church, but we might have to do some baptizing here.
Absolutely.
So you guys stay tuned. We might have to do some baptizing around here. So we'll have to see. So you guys stay tuned for that.
Dunkin'.
Some Dunkin'.
Sunday.
We might do some Dunkin' this weekend, Saturday or Sunday. Come back tomorrow night. We'll pass on the word. We'll pass on the word. I'll check it out with Richard before I make an announcement, but we may be doing some Dunkin' this weekend.
Sounds good to me.
And what else we got? We're going to be here through till Saturday still.
Yeah.
Saturday night's the last night. And afterwards, one of the things is that after this tent goes on, we continue forward. And a part of continuing forward is those of us that remain here got to hang out together, like we've been doing. Okay, we got to hang out together because that's how we learn one from another, and that's how we move forward together. Okay, so after these meetings end down here, Lona, you're up in Vermont, and you know some of the, you know Jeannie over there, and you even know me, and you even know Rick and a few of the rest of us around here, and you know we have some meetings up there, so we'll be getting together with you. And for Sandy and Mindy, we got meetings down here. And little Munchkin over there, she knows. She comes to our meetings. She's been listening. And so we're going to be having meetings. And you guys, you just need to come. Welcome. So we'll look forward to seeing you all right? Well, God bless. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Amen.